Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Been a busy week if you're a San Diego Padre fan. A lot of stuff happening in Southern California. Obviously, these are moves to at least compete with the defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. Have the Padres done enough? Well, they've certainly stiffened up that rotation. We know what it will look like in 2021, and it could be even better come 2022. We'll talk Padres. We'll talk about some of the other moves around Major League Baseball. It seems like another rebuilding phase for the Tampa Bay Rays, and what is happening in Chicago. Joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have Steve Bordstein. He joins us to talk Major League Baseball frequently, and now as we hit the hot stove, winter time, boy, it's a great time to talk baseball. Steve, thank you for the time again today.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
You as well. Thank you very much, Steve. Great place to start. It's by talking about the San Diego Padres. They definitely have made some moves. They bring in 2018 Cy Young winner Blake Snell. He was fresh off a brilliant performance in the World Series, which Kevin Cash brought to a close after one hit to, well, two hits for the game, but one hit to Austin Barnes. Then they turn around and they pull a move for Yu Darvish, who was the runner-up this last year in the NL Cy Young race behind only Trevor Bauer. When you look at what the Padres managed to accomplish, yes, it is exciting because they brought in two legitimate pitchers, and they really only gave up Zach Davies. They managed to hang on to their top prospect in Mackenzie Gore, and if you're a Padre fan, that has to make you smile. Another thing that has to make you smile is this team has been a doormat in the NL West over the last decade or so, and now they're at least attempting to make moves. Spent a lot of money on Manny Machado. They have one of the most entertaining players in baseball in Fernando Tatis. And now they add a solid pitching rotation. I still don't think they're better than the Dodgers, but I will put them in the top three along with Atlanta.
And I agree with that. But I just want to, you know, I want to be the negative voice in the room here. Because how do you sell this to Padres fans? Okay, yeah, we want to compete with the Dodgers. That's our goal. We want to compete with the Dodgers. We want to be better than the Dodgers, right? Because the Dodgers are world champions. They're in our division. Okay, so who are we going to go get? We're going to go get the guy who held the Dodgers to two hits in six innings in Game 6 of the World Series before they pulled him. A World Series that we weren't even remotely close to being good enough to be in the first place because we didn't have all these other parts around us. Oh, okay. Well, that's not good enough. Okay, well, we're going to go get Yu Darvish. The last time Dodgers fans saw Yu Darvish in a game of any importance, he was vomiting all over himself in the World Series a couple of years ago. Now, are they good pitchers? Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, just in case, we might not know really whether or not Clevinger or LeMay are any good based on, you know, Clevinger's injury, which is going to keep him out in 2021. And we don't know if LeMay is going to come back any good at all. The rotation might be great, but it also might be garbage in 2021. So we're just really gambling here. So for before Padres fans decide they're just going to put all their eggs in the basket here, remember, you don't have Clevinger in 21. You might not get the best LeMay in 21, and now you're gambling on Blake Snell, who probably threw a fit when he was pulled from the World Series in Game 6, legitimately so. And we'll get to the Rays and that firestorm that's going to start up over there. And we don't know about Darvish. We don't know if Darvish is going to be any good when he starts getting back around the old familiar confines of Dodger Stadium, where the last time Dodgers fans saw him, he was basically useless. So I just don't buy that this is the greatest move ever. I agree with you wholeheartedly that not having to give up key prospects, that's a good thing for the Dodgers. That's a good thing for the Padres because they get to keep, you know, some young talented players in their roster. And I think 21 is the year of, oh, we don't know yet. And 22 is the year really the Padres, I think, are going to be the danger team in the National League West and probably the entire National League.
I agree with that 100%. And I think that Padre fans need to remember this. It's exciting this year, but there are levels that you must climb to get to the top. And when you look at what they will get back in 2022, every one of these moves signifies that they see somewhat of a little gap, somewhat of a little space where they can pull ahead as far as the Dodgers and the Braves, because that is the cream of the crop in the National League. Now, as far as the Yu Darvish trade goes, I think San Diego wins this deal hands down. I think when you look at the Snell deal, there's several layers to that onion that you got to peel off. But when you look at the San Diego-Chicago Cub deal, there's no doubt in my mind San Diego wins this deal because it was simply a cash dump for the Cubs. And we'll talk about the Cubs in just a moment. They signed Darvish to a six-year, $126 million deal. Since 2019 at the All-Star break, he's got a 2.4 ERA, a 5.4 WAR. Those are important numbers. This was an obvious salary dump for the Cubs, who no longer have Theo Epstein. And anytime you have a salary dump, some team comes out on top. Whoever worked out a deal with the Cubs were going to come out on top. I don't really pay attention to dollars much in baseball. You want to pay the luxury tax, by all means, go right ahead. It's not a hard cap like in the NFL, so I try to stray away from those numbers. But the bottom line is, the Cubs wanted to dump this salary that they gave Darvish, so the Padres, in my mind, are the obvious winners.
No question. No question. As far as the Snell deal is concerned, look, the Rays are an interesting story because I think there's a lot happening within that organization right now. Look, cash took a ton of heat for the move in Game 6. Then you had the little Arozarena story that came up after the World Series was over. They're going to have the World Series, post-World Series meltdown of any team we've seen the last 10 years. This is going to be a Marlins-esque fall from grace, I think, for the Tampa Bay Rays, just because they were riding a wave of success, and then it all came crashing down in the matter of just one pitching change in the sixth inning of Game 6 of the World Series. So I think they're going to fall. I think they're going to fall badly in this next season, especially when you look at, okay, a healthy New York Yankees in that division, if they can stay healthy for a presumed 162-game season. The Red Sox are starting to make some moves as well, so you know they're not going to be, you know, in the dumps for too long. They may not be great in 21, but you know they're making moves. As far as the Padres deal is concerned, absolutely, it's a win-win on the Darvish deal. I think for the Snell deal, is more, look, we made a mistake in 20. We made a mistake in the World Series. We have a clubhouse in disarray, and we're going to fall apart. That was definitely a win for the Padres.
Again, Steve Bortstein, our guest right now, as we talk Major League Baseball and some of the moves that have come through over the last three or so days. We'll talk about the Cubs for a moment, because again, and you have to link these two trades together. No more Theo Epstein. Jed Hoyer now makes his first trade as general manager of the Chicago Cubs. And I think we need to go back to what Tom Ricketts said. Quote, "I don't think anybody's tearing anything down." Well, I don't really know what he's talking about, because this is absolutely a teardown trade. Okay, the bottom line is the Cubs receive Zach Davies, and you and I have got to watch Zach Davies a lot, right, in the NL West. I think he's a fine pitcher. In fact, he may be number two in that rotation. The NL Central is not good, so I think just looking at the roster the Cubs had, it could have contended in that NL Central. Bottom line is the Padres get a top-notch pitcher. They give up nothing but Zach Davies. And when you look at what the Rays got in return for Blake Snell from San Diego, there was a lot. There was a Louis Patino. He's number three in San Diego's farm system. They got Cole Wilcox. Here's another right-hander with a wild arm. Francisco Mejia. He was once a top prospect, right? So when you look at what San Diego gave up to get Snell, and you look at what they gave up to give you Darvish, you have to be sick as a Chicago Cubs fan, because I do believe that Hoyer isn't necessarily tearing it down, but it's going to be a long rebuild process if he's not.
Well, I mean, this is a case of a general manager who wants to placate the fan base, because it is a teardown move. And there's no shame, and this is what I don't get, right? There's no shame in saying, look, we have to, quote, reevaluate. We have to do this. We have to do that, right? And it's fine when you're doing that and you're a team that doesn't have a lot of expectations. If you're a Colorado Rockies, you're always reevaluating. You're always looking at ways to get better, ways to cut costs, ways to get this guy, that guy. If you're a Cubs, though, you're a legacy team. You don't rebuild. You reload, right? All that crap. But that's what the Cubs are doing. They are rebuilding. There's no shame in that. And the fact that the general manager doesn't want to use that terminology, doesn't want to throw in the teardown thing. Yes, it's a teardown. Yes, we're rebuilding. Yes, we're no longer the top dog in Chicago anymore. The White Sox are. You're going to have to deal with that for a couple of years. Cubs fans, if anything, from the long-term perspective of things, they should be used to this. Like, how is it all of a sudden they win one World Series in the last 10 years, and all of a sudden now they're the juggernaut of the National League? I don't get that. Like, you should be used to being second rate. You should be used to being in this position where you're constantly second-guessing yourself. The new general manager coming in there and making a move like this, yes, this is a rebuild. This is what it looks like. You're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, you know why this is a rebuild? I think it's a clear indication. When Theo Epstein walked away from Chicago, in my mind, that tells me that it was a clear rebuild. Theo is very strategical in what he has done over the course of his baseball career. He walked away from the Red Sox a year before a teardown. And this tells me that Tom Ricketts, the owner, had made it abundantly clear that it was time for a teardown. Theo's baseball reputation is too clean for him to be involved in a teardown. He joins teams that are dumpster fires, teams that have a project, and he builds them up. He doesn't tear them down. Right, so when Theo decided to walk away, that told me right then and there that A, Tom Ricketts either wanted control or he was going to institute a teardown, insert Jed Hoyer. That's what that told me.
That's all it is. And if you want to know what it's going to look like for your Cubs fan in 21, take a look at what the Red Sox did the year after Theo Epstein left the Red Sox. What did they do? They made monumental moves, they dumped money, they got rid of talent, and they rebuilt. And that's what this is going to be. That's what this, now whether it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, or a dozen years, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because that's exactly what this is right now, and it's just going to be up to the new general manager and the new team, you know, the new lineup, the new roster to develop themselves. And if they can, they can. They can't, they can't. But to call this anything but a teardown or a rebuild is being monumentally optimistic and monumentally stupid.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening in Chicago. And like I said, when you look at everything that has happened in that division, it's kind of an odd time because there's no reason why the Chicago Cubs could not compete in what is a very underwhelming division in baseball right now. You have to look at what the Padres are doing and what the Cubs are doing, and you have to applaud the Padres. Is it enough to put them over the hump in 2021? I don't believe so, but there's plenty of other moves to take place, and there are other moves that are really going to give us a clearer picture in the National League. For instance, the rumors of the Dodgers talking with DJ LeMahieu. Trevor Bauer has been persistent and always bringing up the Dodgers subtly. Right, without just coming out and saying, I want to play for the Dodgers, he's brought this up. And it is a very attractive...
I don't even know how subtle it is. He's got an ad on Facebook.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's where he wants to be. I mean, it's obvious. And
he's got an ad on Facebook photoshopped of him in a Dodger uniform pitching at Dodger Stadium. That's not subtle.
Well, he did put it... In all fairness, he did put a picture of himself in an Angels hat on Twitter a couple of months ago, and I don't know why anyone would want to go join that train wreck, but he did do that. So he's just a different character. But until these dominoes fall of potential players possibly going to the National League, and this goes well beyond the Dodgers, right? It would not shock me if Trevor Bauer was to sign a one-year deal with a contending team in the National League to put them into the category this year of World Series contenders. For instance, Steve, we haven't even talked about the idea that the Atlanta Braves added Charlie Morton on a one-year deal. Like, that's a monumental move, right? So while the Padres are flashy right now and they've made moves, and it's no discredit to them, Atlanta has gotten better under the radar. And the Dodgers could get much better in the next 72 hours or so in a blockbuster-type way.
Look, I mean, it's gone from Arenado now apparently over to LeMahieu. And look, I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions on Padres fans over here, but you can add eight pitchers to that rotation as far as I'm concerned. Good luck with that lineup if the Dodgers add LeMahieu. Good luck, because that lineup, you and I were talking about it off the air, the potential lineup of a 1-2-3 batter, a 1-2-3 starting lineup of Mookie Betts, DJ LeMahieu, and Justin Turner, it's in batting third. And then we haven't even mentioned Bellinger. We haven't mentioned the rest of that lineup. We haven't mentioned Corey Seager in that lineup. We haven't mentioned any of these guys. So good luck to you. Good luck to the Padres.
Yeah, the next couple of weeks of Major League Baseball are going to be absolutely fascinating. Right now, the Padres are the hot story. I could see a change in that, though, once Bauer and LeMahieu actually make the announcement of where they're going, specifically in the National League. Steve Bornstein, always a pleasure to get you on to talk Major League Baseball. I appreciate the time. Before I let you go, of course, you have to talk about where we can find more of you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Doing a lot more coverage right now on the horse racing scene. We opened up at Santa Anita the other day for their traditional opening day season. We opened up at the fairgrounds, so I'm covering horse racing now over at horseracingnation.com. Also doing some great work with the folks up in up at Four Corners Broadcasting. So you can follow me and get more of my more stuff from me over on Twitter at Radio Durango SB.
Steve, always a pleasure. I know we'll talk again relatively soon as more news trickles out in Major League Baseball. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Happy New Year again.
We'll take one more quick commercial break and return to wrap up this edition of Drive Time Sports right after this on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.